Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Federal prosecutors told jurors today that James Whitey Bulger was a hands-on killer who led an extensive criminal enterprise. In their opening statements, government lawyers outlined their case against Bulger, who's accused of 19 murders while overseeing Boston's criminal underworld and a long reign of terror that lasted for decades.
In his opening statement, Bulger's defense attorney, James Carney, countered that the prosecution's key witnesses, some of whom are former gangsters, are unreliable. He said while Bulger made millions of dollars in crime, including in the drug trade, he paid off corrupt law enforcement officers, Carney asserted that Bulger was not an FBI informant.
So, the trial is finally underway, and it's expected to run through the summer and into the fall. WBUR senior reporter David Boeri was in the courtroom today and joins us from the federal courthouse in South Boston. And David, let's start with the government's opening statements. Give us the highlights there. What's the case that they laid out?
Highlights, Anthony, are 19 murders, each of them read off, and in a very effective closing of that opening argument by Brian Kelly. He kept on pointing to this man over here, this man over there, the guy in the same green, forest green Henley jersey that he was wearing yesterday in jeans. This man over here. And he picked out a couple of the most perhaps wrenching stories of murders. And it started to, it was effective in the way he referred to the fact that Bucky Barrett, Bulger essentially made a little joke about Bucky Barrett going to lie down and then blew his brains out. Mm. The jurors watched. They didn't move. They were transfixed as they were listening to these stories.
And give us a sense if there was any reaction from James Bulger.
James Bulger's head was cocked a little to the side, and otherwise he was unmoved and immovable, it seemed. Perhaps his excitement at the day came with the first witness, because the first witness put up a surveillance video of 1980 at Lancaster Street, black and white video of Bulger in his salad days, and he seemed to be fascinated watching himself and his youth and his powerful youth, and as somebody, one of the investigators at the trial said, he really was excited looking back and said, oh yeah, I used to be somebody then.
Mm. Well, I want to talk to you about that first witness, but let's first go to the opening statements by James Carney, Bulger's attorney. Give us a sense of what he said and the arguments that he laid out.
I guess you could say in three words, Anthony: rats, rats, and rats. He picked out the three main witnesses for the government and all called them contemptible. He talked about the opening argument by Brian Kelly and referred to it as a fine meal well prepared in the kitchen, and then told the jurors, I want to go back into the kitchen and show you what they did with the dishes named John Martirano and Kevin Weeks and Stephen Fleming, who he portrayed as some of the most abominable human beings on the planet.
And those folks that you just mentioned, of course, would be testifying against Bulger. So we have a piece of tape from J.W. Carney talking about his opening statements earlier today. Let's just give a listen to that.
Well, I hope to give people a perspective of what Boston was like in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and how it was that Jim was able to operate with complete impunity.
David, question, though, about Carney's approach here. He made a point to say Bulger was not an FBI informant. I'm curious to ask how that helps Bulger's case.
He has been stripped of the defense, the formal defense that Bulger has immunity. So what he is going to do is insist that he was never an informant. So if you're not an informant, how do you exist in the world? How are you protected? And you're protected because you're bribing everybody. Uh-huh. And that's the point. He's corrupting everybody. And he was successful. The question is successful in his opening statement, of course. The question is how successful he'll be in getting that onto the record, but he wanted the jurors to know it was corruption that explained how Jim Bulger, and by the way, we no longer now need to talk about Bulger as a reputed mobster, because he is saying through his defense attorney, I was a mobster. I was involved in gambling, loan sharking, and all. And of course, loan sharking, remember, loan sharking, you break the guy's legs if he doesn't pay you. So there's violence involved in that. He's saying he did it. He was Bulger's attorney, J.W. Carnes, who was somewhat silent, very silent, in fact, on the issues of murders, although he blamed the murders of two women on Flemmy, a government witness.
Mm-hmm. So, David, most surprising, most dramatic moment of this first day of testimony and opening statements, what was it?
You know, there were two things. For one was how he threw John Connolly totally under the bus. Carney presented new information. They'd already maintained that they had been bribing Connolly. And, of course, Connolly is the friend of the two Bulger brothers, Bill and Whitey. He's Whitey's handler. He calls Bill Bulger the most influential man in his life. And so he's right in the middle, and here you have Bulger, Whitey, saying, I paid him $5,000, $10,000, and this one new today, I gave him $50,000 at one point. So it's that willingness to throw this guy from South Boston, from the same projects, under the bus, no loyalty, whereas Connolly is down in a prison in Florida because he refuses to give anybody up. Mm. That was stunning.
WBUR senior reporter David Boeri reporting on the trial of James Bulger from the federal courthouse in South Boston. David, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Anthony.